Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Neil Nelson, Associate Pastor and Teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I feel like I should probably just say amen, let's go home. It's like your third sermon tonight. So either you really need it or you just love the word. So if you have a copy of God's word or your phone, look at John 16:33. We're going to look at one verse tonight. I'll read couple others, but I want us to look at John 16, verse 33 together for a few minutes, just kind of walk through what Jesus said here, and then pray for each other and for the truth that Jesus speaks to his disciples here and be true in our lives. I am not a person who's ever done New Year's resolutions. I had enough failure in my life. I didn't need one more thing that I didn't accomplish, right? So I just never did it. But if I had them, I would want this to be the one this year for me and honestly for you and for our church. In John 16:33, Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When Jesus said he had said these things to the disciples, he was referring to his preparation of them for when he would no longer be with them. He had begun as they'd marched towards Jerusalem, where he knew he would be crucified and buried. That he had begun to prepare them for that. And so he had taught them a lot of things. He had talked to them about his kingdom on earth and when his kingdom would come on earth. He had talked to them even about his second coming. He had told them who the Holy Spirit was and what the Holy Spirit would do for them. And it must have been extremely exciting for them to have Jesus teaching them about these heavenly things. But he also talked to them about the difficulties that they would face. He talked to them about what he would say would be tribulation. In this world, he told his disciples, you will have tribulation. Tribulation is one of those serious words. You don't just, you know, use it kind of flippantly. It literally means that something is pressed together. Something is crushed under pressure. And so when Jesus talks to them about that in the world they're going to face tribulation, he's not saying to them, you know, you're going to get frustrated with each other. Life is going to be hard. You're going to grow old. You know, the church, when you preach the gospel, sometimes he's not talking about that. He tells them very plainly in John 15 and John 16. He says, people are going to hate you. He said, some people, probably, you know, you think when he said this, you think about Saul who becomes Paul. But he said, some people are going to think that when they kill you, they are serving God. You're going to be ostracized from the synagogue. That's tribulation. And he told them, in the world, they would face tribulation. I like that about Jesus. I don't know about you. But I like the fact that Jesus didn't sugarcoat truth. He told them why he did it. In the first part of 16, he says, I'm going to tell you these things. I want you to know these things because when they happen, I don't want you to fall away. Even what we just read in verse 33, he says, I want you to know these things I've told you so that you will have peace in me. I think sometimes we are guilty of wanting to kind of soft sell life and make the Christian message, the gospel, kind of like another kind of self-help message in our culture. We're afraid people won't believe if they know that life is going to be hard. So we're going to tell them, you know, well, once you become a Christian, everything's going to be okay. Even though the one we say saved us, Jesus himself, did the exact opposite. He just told them, you are about to be crushed, distressed, and I want you to know it. So I love that about Jesus. Jesus, though, wasn't being negative. I don't know that he would make a good preacher in our culture, you know, be like, man, Jesus is a little too negative, a little too harsh, Jesus. Could you tone it down just a little bit? You know, he's not being negative. He told them why. He loves them. He wants to see the Father glorified, and he wants them to experience his peace. So he would tell them, in this world you'll have tribulation, but in me you will have peace. That word peace is, you know, also a word that can mean a lot of different things. But if you look at what Jesus says about his peace, you understand, well, how does he give peace? Look in John 14. I'm just going to read this. You can just read along with me. John 14, verse 25. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have heard me say, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, and here again, he wants them to know why, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. The disciples could have peace in Jesus because Jesus had peace in the Father. Jesus knew that the peace he was giving them, the peace that the Father had given to him, you couldn't get by trusting your five senses. It was only a peace that you could have if you had this visionary hope of what the Father was going to do. I mean, think about what Jesus is about to do. He knows he's about to be killed. He's about to be laid in a grave. But he also knows he's going to be resurrected. He also knows that he's going to be seated at the right hand of his Father. So even in the midst of that, even in the midst of tribulation, he can say, I'm going to give you the peace I have. Jesus could give the disciples peace because he had peace in his Father. And I don't think that the peace that Jesus gives is just to his disciples that he's talking to here in John. Paul would go on and encourage the church in Philippians. He would say to them, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. How many of you are anxious about something? Just go, yeah. Paul would say to the church, don't be anxious about anything. But with prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. And what? Y'all can finish that for me? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in what? In who? Christ Jesus. The peace of Christ is for all who will receive it. In this world, you'll have what? Y'all don't believe it, do you? Y'all got easy lives, don't you? No problems here? In this world, you'll have what? Okay, man. But in Jesus, you can have what? And Jesus told the disciples, take heart. It really is about the heart, isn't it? For the disciples, it was really about their heart. It wasn't, again, what they were going to experience, what they were going to see, what they were going to feel. Those things could not give the disciples peace. It was going to have to be, again, something that was external to them, a vision of hope that they could hold on to when they were being crushed. In this world, you'll have tribulation. But I want you to have my peace, Jesus said to them. Take heart. How does Jesus overcome the world? Take heart. I've overcome the world. What does that mean? I'm sure there's a lot better ways to describe this, explain this to you, but the story that just came to my heart is more than a textbook answer, was the story that Luke tells in Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50 through the end of the chapter. I think it's a story where you can understand how Jesus overcame the world. Luke tells us that there's this religious leader, Simon, that invites Jesus to his house to dine. And he doesn't really want to honor Jesus. In fact, Jesus goes on to say culturally that everything that a person would have done in that culture to honor them, this guy, Simon, does none of them for Jesus. None of them. So he wasn't there to honor Jesus. He just wanted to kind of check out who Jesus was, really to trap Jesus. And it works great because when Jesus' disciples come in and he's seated, Luke tells us that a woman, she's just called a woman from the city who was a sinner. A lot of theologians think she was a prostitute. We don't really know. But she was somebody that I imagine was crushed, don't you? She was somebody who had experienced tribulation. I understand that culturally, Jesus could have had her, you know, arrested, beaten, stoned, even just for touching him. So you have to ask yourself, why was she willing to risk, you know, her life to come to touch Jesus, to meet Jesus, to wash his feet, Luke tells us, with her hair and her tears. She was crushed. She knew tribulation. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus tells a story because Simon is like, well, Jesus, obviously we figured out who this Jesus character is. He's not really a prophet. He's not really a man of God as he claims to be. Because if he was, he'd know she was just a sinner. And Jesus says, hey, Simon, I got a question for you. There was two men that had a debt that they owed. One owed 500, and one of them 500 denarii, and one of them owed 50. And the guy that they owed the debt to forgive both of them. Which one do you think will be more grateful? Which one will be more loving? And Simon, of course, has to answer the right way because Jesus called him out from all these people. He says, well, I guess the one who's been forgiven more. And Jesus says, you've answered correctly. And here we see Jesus overcome the world. See, the world had put this woman in a box. The world had created a system, a wall between her and God that she couldn't get over. She knew she couldn't get over. That's why she was willing to risk her life to come and just meet Jesus and to see if he really was who everybody had said, because she had no hope. She was separated from the God based on the world system, the religious system that had been created around her. Everything that she had been told, she was hopeless. Just death and separation. And so she needed somebody to overcome the world for her. So Jesus does this. He says to her, your sins are forgiven. Like that. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus, see, he could overcome the world. He didn't care about the religious system at that day. He didn't care about what the world around this woman had said about her and what she had done. He said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That's overcoming the world. So when Jesus says to the disciples, hey, in this world you'll have tribulation, but I want you to have my peace. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. He can overcome the world. He knows he's about to go to the cross. He knows he's about to purchase righteousness for them, for the Father. In this world you'll face tribulation, but I want you to have my peace. Take heart, for I've overcome the world. I don't know about you, but that is such a powerful truth. I'm so personally grateful that Jesus said that in this world you'd have tribulation. That every time I faced and have faced and will face those times when I feel like life is crushing me, when life is putting pressure on me, when I face tribulation, maybe it's not going to be the tribulation like the disciples were about to face. Maybe it will be. I don't know the future. I know a lot of brothers in Christ in the world, sisters in Christ, face that kind of tribulation every day. But I'm so grateful that when I face those times, I don't wonder, does God love me? You ever wonder that sometime when life just is crushing you? Does God love me? Does he really care? Because Jesus told us, in this world, you will have tribulation. But he has overcome the world so that we can, just like the disciples, just like the Philippian church, we can have peace in him. And that's my prayer for myself and for you. I don't know what 2019 holds, but I know this. 2019, we will have what? Unfortunately. But we don't leave discouraged tonight, do we? Are you discouraged? No, because why? He has overcome the world, and he wants every one of us who knows him to have his peace. So I want us to close just praying for one another, and I want you to group up. I know you probably hate grouping up. You're like, Neil, it's the last Sunday of the year. Don't make us group up. Well, I think there's power in praying out loud. I think there's power in praying for one another. So if you'll just get with two or three people, four people right around you, and just simple prayer, pray that you will experience the peace of Christ this year. And pray that the person you're praying with and for will experience the peace of Christ this year. So go ahead and do that right now. The worship team will come back up.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.